Well, today I'm really excited because we're starting a new series called Mind Wars. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but a lot of the battles that we face in life happen right here. They happen right in our mind. And a lot of times the battles that we fight are won or lost in our mind before they're won or lost anywhere else. We live in what I call a mental apocalypse, because I don't think that we've lived in a time period that's harder on the mind. Our lives are extremely busy, but in sort of an ironic way, our minds are often very passive. Now, here's what I don't mean. Our minds are often overworked. But what I mean by passive is passive in terms of what we allow into our mind. We just sort of passively take in all of this aggressive information and marketing and PR and philosophy and all of these things that are pressing their way into our mind. We sort of passively, in an unfiltered way, it's like our minds have a giant wide open front door and all thoughts are welcome. That's not a good idea. And that actually hurts you in the war that you're fighting in your mind. We've never lived in a time where the mind is so effectively targeted. But I have good news for you this morning. God's word not only has the ability to change your life and to transform your mind, it has the ability to renew your mind. And so in just a minute, I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But before I do, I want to ask you to do something that we don't typically do at Kingwood, but I want to ask you to do it today, because I want us to make a statement together that God's word is powerful and transformative and has the ability to change our lives. And if you're watching online, unless you're driving in a car, you can do this too. I want to ask you to stand as we read the word today. And I want you to just open your mind and heart and be receptive. Paul the Apostle wrote 2 Corinthians 10. And Paul the Apostle was a great thinker before he was a Christian. Before he followed Jesus, he was a great thinker. But you can see in Paul the Apostle's journey how his mind began to change. Although he was already a great thinker, he had an unrenewed, an untransformed mind. In Romans chapter 7, he actually said, "The good things I want to do, I don't do, and the bad things I don't want to do, I do." Can anybody relate to that? That's what Paul the Apostle said. And you can see this war in the mind that Paul the Apostle fought throughout his lifetime and how his mind continued to be renewed more and more and more. But let's look at 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 10, 3 and 4. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." All right, you can be seated. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. That word power is a very incredible word, because what it means is, it's the Greek word dunamis. You might recognize that sound. It's where we get our English word dynamite. God's given us weapons. He's given us these tools that are divinely powerful. They're explosive. And they have the ability, this verse says, to demolish strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a picture of a military tactic that was used in the ancient world. Inside of a city, you would have a stronghold or a fortress that was set up, and it would have a big wall around it and guards or whatever, and valuable things were kept in there, either treasures or manuscripts or maybe prisoners from, you know, the other country or whatever. Valuable things were kept inside that stronghold and that fortress because it was the hardest to penetrate. But here's what happens. Paul said that God has given us these weapons that we fight with that have dynamite power, that are able to demolish strongholds. They're able to tear down strongholds in the mind. Now, what happens is the devil attacks our mind, and he wants to build strongholds and ways of thinking and patterns of thinking in our mind, because he wants to take away God's healing, he wants to take away God's purpose, and he wants to take away God's plan for your life. And so he establishes these patterns of thinking. And so what might they sound like? What are these things that the enemy tells us to try to shape us? He says things like this: you can't trust people. You will never succeed. You will always be broke. You will never have a good marriage. You're going to turn out just like your mom or just like your dad. You're going to always worry. You're going to always be afraid. You're never going to overcome the circumstances that you live in. You're never going to change. God doesn't hear your prayers. God doesn't even care about you. You'll never make a difference. You'll never amount to anything. That's the kind of stuff, that's the kind of blocks that the enemy builds his stronghold out of inside your mind to rob you of the plan and the purpose and the healing that God has for your life. Now, how do you win that battle? Well, if you look at the science, the brain is wonderfully complex. Your brain's doing about 400 billion actions at any given moment, and you and I are only aware of about 2,000 of them. So we are going to live most of our life unaware of most of the things that our brain does. 87% of illness is attributed to our thought life. The brain tissue is the most complicated matter in the entire universe. Here's the thing, though. It can change for better or for worse at any age. Positive circumstances cause brain cells to expand. Negative circumstances cause brain cells to shrink and to die. A lot of the problems that we have in our life comes from toxic and dysfunctional thoughts. A lot of relational problems, eating disorders, addictions, sleep problems, and even some forms of anxiety come directly as a result of our thought life, of what we think about. So here's what I want you to, one of the takeaways I want you to have from this series. Our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. If you want to know what direction you're headed in life, evaluate your thoughts. And that's actually what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pause for a minute. And what I want to do is I want to give you a thought assessment. Okay? It's not long. It's not hard. You don't need anything. We're going to play along together. But I want to give you a thought assessment because I want to invite you to do something that we probably don't do very much or enough. We don't think about our thoughts. We think our thoughts, but we don't think about our thoughts. Like, what are we thinking about? So here's the first one. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do your thoughts generally land? 1 would be like, you know, chronic worry and panic. 10 would be peaceful thoughts. This is the peace of God. So do you kind of wake up in the morning worried, in a panic, with anxiety and fear? Or are you more on the other side and you wake up more experiencing the peace of God that passes all understanding, that are disconnected from your circumstances, even if life's not going very well? Maybe you wake up in the morning and your first thoughts of the day is, I'm worried about my kids, or I'm worried about my health, or I'm worried about the economy. Or on the other side, you're casting all your care on God, even when things aren't going well. And by the way, everybody can cast their care on God when they don't have any. That's easy. So where would you be on this scale? Are you over here around 7, 8, 9, or 10? Are you experiencing and sensing the goodness of God even when things aren't always good? God's always good, but life's not always good. So where would you put yourself 1 to 10? Just eyeball it for a minute. Look at it and just pick a number and say, I think I'm about right there. Here's the second one. Do your thoughts drift more toward the negative, or do they drift more toward the positive? In other words, is your default setting that you expect things to go wrong? Your expectation is things are not going to go well. Are you oftentimes critical of people, whether you say it or just think it? And what we're really more concerned about today is what we think, not what we say. But are in your mind, are you critical of people? Do you assume the worst or do you assume the best? Are you on this side of negativity, of being overwhelmed, too busy? You wake up every day with the feeling that there's just not enough of me to go around? Are you one of those, you know, really conspiracy people, like the world's going to hell in a handbasket? Aren't you fun to hang around? Or are you kind of on the other end where you say, yes, life is hard and it has challenges, but I'm going to face my life with my faith in God. And I know that God has a purpose for my life and He has a plan, and everything's not going to be perfect and everything's not always going to be easy. But even when it's difficult, I believe that God has a plan for my life, and I'm gonna face my life that way. So where are you at? 1 to 10. One's kind of rough, 10's Jesus, so maybe you're not 10. Where are you at on that scale? One more, this is the last one. Where would you put yourself on a scale between worldly thinking and eternal thinking? And what I mean by that is your thought life often defaulting to the possessions? You think about what you have, you think about what you wear, you think about how you look, you think about what other people think about you, you think about how many likes that your posts that you put on social media gets, you think about the things that you're saving up money to buy for yourself. I mean, your default setting is more framed around, when I say worldly things, I don't necessarily mean bad, I just mean temporary. Like, they won't last. They're not going to be here forever. And then on the other side are the eternal things, where your outlook is more like, look, God has given me one life. I only have one life. And God has given me this one life, and He's called me to be a steward of it, and He's called me to use the gifts that He's given me to invest in the spiritual impact on the people around me, because I realized that one day that everything temporary is going to burn, and the only thing left are going to be the things that I've invested in eternally, and I want my life to count eternally. That's 10. So 1 to 10, where would you be on that scale? Because here's why that matters. Because everything that goes into your mind comes out in your life. If it goes in your mind, it comes out in your life. Let me say it another way. You cannot have a negative mind and live a positive life. You cannot have a negative mind and live a positive life. You'll never see an exception to that. It will never happen. Life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So the question I have for you today is, are you excited about the direction that your thoughts are taking you? How do you feel about that? Do you feel good about the direction the thoughts that you're thinking are taking you? What are your inner thoughts? What is your monologue? What are you thinking about? When I was a young believer, this passage in 2 Corinthians 10 that I've shared with you, I was reflecting on this week. I hope I'm not overstating this. It might be the most impactful passage in the Bible in the first 10 years of my life with God. It impacted me deeply. It changed my life because as a child, I had a lot of, and a young person, I had a lot of destructive thoughts, a lot of dysfunctional and harmful thoughts that had been put into my mind, and I accepted them because I had a wide open front door on my brain because nobody told me that you could shut the door. I didn't know that. So I just accepted these thoughts as they came in, and they were holding me back and they were hurting me. And I went away to college and I got a degree in ministry and I went into ministry. And that first year or two in ministry, I can tell you, I the Lord in His graciousness brought this verse into my life, and I would take it into prayer with me every day. And I'm telling you, I was doing war. Like, there was war going on in here. And I would go in and I would pray. And I would pray it, and I could sense this tension and this conflict in my mind, and this conflict of things that I would read in the Bible versus things that I believed, or things that that had been buried in my mind that I didn't even know what they were. And there was this war in my mind as I would pray. But the Bible taught me that I wasn't a prisoner to my thoughts, and I had the power to change my thought life. And when that started to happen, it didn't just change my mind, it changed my life. And that's really the passion I have for this series. I want you to experience that too, on every level you can. I want you to know that inner internal transformation. So in this series, here's what we're going to do. Next week, we're going to talk about training your mind to win. The next week, we're going to talk about reframing your disappointments and your pain. And the final week in the series, we're going to talk about overcoming anxiety. So I hope you'll lock in with us, follow us online, follow us in person. I really am praying this series will be helpful to you. So this morning, I just want to lay the groundwork for the whole series, and then we'll go into the next part in the next few weeks. So I want to give you three, kind of a big picture of how do you win the battle. Number one, name the biggest stronghold holding you back. Name the biggest stronghold holding you back. So you have to find it. You have to identify it. What is it for you? Is that you maybe the stronghold is you feel like you're not good enough, or your past was too bad. You've done too many bad things for God to ever accept you. Maybe it's what we said earlier, you can't trust people. Maybe you've embraced the belief that you'll always battle with your weight or your health or something in that space, or you're never going to be good with money, you're never going to be close to God, you're never going to have a fulfilling job, you're never going to be good with relationships. Now, why is it important that you name it? Because you can't defeat what you can't define. So it's very important that you name, that you identify and find, what is that belief, what is that thing that has found its way in your mind that you've assumed was true, that is hurting you and holding you back and harming your life. Negative thoughts, by the way, let's get into the science a little bit. They cause a change in the chemical makeup of your brain. So let's look at the positive side. So when you have a positive thought, it gives you a shot of dopamine. That's the chemical. Maybe you've heard of that. And it's a little feel-good drug, you know? It's like when you put a post on social media, you go, wow, look how many likes I got. Poof, that's dopamine. And that's why it's dangerous, because you get addicted to it and then you just want likes all the time. Or somebody comes up to you and gives you a very meaningful compliment. Poof, dopamine. Or I don't know, maybe your football team wins the game. I gotta be honest. If you watch the Alabama game, there wasn't much dopamine until about the last couple minutes. You know what I'm saying? That was no dopamine. But you know what I'm saying? If something good happens, a good thought enters your mind, a delightful thought, boom, you get this dopamine, and it actually changes the chemical compound in your mind. But negative thoughts do the same thing. They begin to change the chemical compound of your mind. And the more often you think something, the easier it is to think it again. And new neural pathways, we have billions of them in our brain. Every time you create a new pathway, it's easier to go down it the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. And the more you walk down that path, the easier it is to go down that path again and again and again and again. And then it ultimately becomes your default way of thinking. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, I've seen this before. I know how this is going to turn out. Why? Because you're God? Because you know the future? But that's what we begin to think. Oh, no, 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 no. I know where this is headed. I know what's going to happen. And that negative thought becomes a lie and a trap and a stronghold that begins to hurt our life. So imagine if you walked out your front door every day and you walked directly across the center of your yard to the street or to whatever, and you walk the same path every day for 100 days in a row. You know what's going to happen. You're going to create a path across your yard, right? And it's going to be a little dirt trail, and it's going to be beaten down, and nothing's going to grow in it because you created a path through repetition. That's exactly what happens in your brain. when you think the same thoughts over and over and over and over and over, it creates a neuro pathway. And then when you walk out in your yard, it looks like there's only one good place to walk. Where? This path. Why? Because it's the one that's been taken. And that's what your brain does. It defaults to the path that you took the most. So now imagine for a minute, though, that you did the opposite of that. Imagine that you went out and after 100 days, you said, you know what? I'm not going to walk there anymore. I'm going to take the sidewalk and I'm going to take the driveway and I'm going to walk around it. You know what would happen? The grass would start to grow again. And you know what happened? Somebody would walk out and go, where do you walk out here? I don't know. There's no obvious path. There's no default in the middle of the yard. So I'll go around or I'll take a different way. And that's what we're doing in this series is we're saying, listen, let's stop walking old pathways and let's start walking in new pathways. Because when you start walking in a new pathway, you start thinking different things and you start having a different life. That's what happens. But it starts the battle, the war is won or lost here in your mind. Look at Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern, the path of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed with new ways of thinking. So what might happen? You had a bad day. What is your habit? What is your routine? You're angry. You're frustrated. You're overwhelmed. You come home. What do? You yell at your spouse. You yell at your kid. That's an old pathway. So what do? You say, I'm going to choose a different pathway today. Instead of coming in grumpy or yelling or whatever, you come in and say, hey, I'm really sorry. I had a bad day today. And I just want you to know that, and I don't want to take it out on you because it's not your fault because you didn't do anything. And then you hug your spouse or your kid. Wow. What is that? That's a new pathway. Maybe you have a bad day, and what you normally do is walk in and beeline for the refrigerator or, you know, some chocolate or something to make you, you've had enough bad stuff, you want something good. But it's an old path. Because it works for a minute, but then later on you feel worse. So what do? You walk in the house and instead you say, you know what? I'm going to put my tennis shoes on and I'm going to go outside and I'm going to walk a little bit. And by the way, the weather's just right for that, right? I'm going to go outside and I'm going to walk. What are you doing? You're creating a new pathway. And the more you take it, the more it'll help you. Or maybe you're bored and you start phone scrolling. And what do you see on the phone? Well, you see everybody else's life who's better than yours. And now you're just mad at all your friends because they have a good life and you don't. But instead of doing that when you're bored, why don't you shut the phone off and why don't you take a verse and why don't you memorize it? And say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed from within by a new way of thinking. And repeat that again, and repeat that again, and take that pathway again, and beat the grass down again, and create a new pathway in your brain so that your mind will default to there instead of where it was defaulting to before. So think a different way, forge a new path. Here's what I'm suggesting to you. Start with one. We're not going to try to tear down all 84 strongholds at one time. That's overwhelming. Start with one. Name the stronghold. And so that you'll define it, know what it is. Number two, reject the stronghold. So here's the thing. You have the authority in God to find every thought in your mind that disagrees with Him, and you have the authority to reject it. You have the absolute authority to reject it. God did not create you to live a life filled with thoughts that disagree with His plan for your life. He didn't create you for that. God has a plan for your mind, and it's to make His thoughts your thoughts. You don't have to believe anything about yourself that God doesn't believe about you. So the next time you find yourself believing something that, you know, I'm this or I'm that or I'm not good enough or I'll never be this, just stop and ask yourself, does God believe that about me? And if He doesn't, you don't have to. Not only do you not have to, you can shut the wide open front door to your brain and say, I reject that thought. That's not coming into my mind anymore. You don't have to believe anything God doesn't believe about you. But here's one thing that I learned about this whole process. God will change your heart, but it's your responsibility to change your mind. If you're sitting and waiting for God to change your mind, it's not going to happen. He will give you the truth. He will give you the tools. He'll give you the resources. He'll equip you. He'll help you. He'll encourage you, but he will not change your mind. God will renovate the soul. He'll change the heart. He'll give us a new heart. But he leaves the renewal of the mind up to us. We have to receive the things he's given to us, and we have to renew the mind. And part of that comes down to rejecting things that are trying to find their way in our mind that aren't from him, that don't agree with him. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, this is the follow-up to verse 3 and 4 that we read when I had you standing. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see that? Do you see that word, take captive? Make them obey? This is the verse that had such a huge impact on me as a young believer. The first decade of my life. This thought that I could take, I wasn't a prisoner of my thoughts. I didn't have to just take what was handed down to me and accept it as truth, that I could take those thoughts captive and I could bring them into obedience. I wasn't stuck with how I thought. And I didn't know that. And so as I was in prayer, you know, you may find this out in your own time, your own prayer life, your own life. You're wrestling with these things, trying to, you know, reject, kick out, say, I'm not going to accept this. But here's the thing, some of these things are stubborn. You may do this thing. You may take a thought captive and say, no, I'm not going to think that. I reject it. It's gone. It never comes back. Incredible. That's amazing. However, that's not how it works with all thoughts. Because what that tells you is that thought wasn't in your brain long. But the thoughts that have taken root and 100 and 200 and 1,000 and 5,000 trips have been taken down that pathway, it will not be re-engineered with one moment, with one, I'm going to take this captive. Some of you, when I was a kid, I had this toy that I loved. Maybe some of you will remember, have seen it. Do you remember those punching bags that was like a little character or something? And it would stand about as high as you were as a kid, but it was weighted in the bottom. And you'd punch it in the head, and it would, you know, flop over and come right back. Do you remember that? It was so fun because it kind of gave you the feeling that you're, you know, really punching something. But, you know, as I was a kid, I'm punching the thing. And then I also realized the harder I hit it, the harder it snaps back. You know, it kind of run back at you. This is sort of how this works. You take the thought captive and you get discouraged because you go, I mean, I rejected that thought. I took it. I rejected it. But I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop focusing on it. I can't get it to stop running through my mind. Look. The Bible is not a silver bullet, and it's not a magic book. It's not a magic pill. It is the equipment and the resources that you need to live an overcoming life, but you're not going to undo 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of thinking one way in one action. You're going to have to reject it, and you're going to have to reject it again. Some of these things are stubborn, and you have to convince them, I will not accept this thought under any circumstances. And you have to train these things that they have no place in your mind. So here's the way that I used to do it in prayer. Now look, this is my young self trying to figure out how to do this because nobody taught me this. But I took that scripture and said, what does this look like to me? Here's what it looked like to me. When I would pray and battle these thoughts, I would picture in my mind like I was standing in waist-deep water. And the water represented prayer. And every time a thought would come into my mind as I was trying to pray, that's when it happened to me, I couldn't focus, that I knew was contrary to God's word or his plan or to what he wanted for me, I would just pretend I'm gonna grab that thought and I'm gonna hold it underwater until it drowns. And I'm gonna grab another one and I'm gonna hold it underwater until it drowns. And if the same one comes back up the other side, I'm gonna do it again and I'm gonna do it again and I'm gonna do it again. And can I tell you something incredible? It was not easy at first, but the more I did it, the easier I got. And you know why? I now know part of the science of it. I know the word part of it, but I also know the science of it. I was creating new pathways, new neurological pathways in my mind that was giving me a renewed mind and a new way to think. So in this way, science and the Word of God agree. They say the same thing. One just gives us a little bit more background behind it. So name the thought, name the stronghold, reject the stronghold. Here's the last thought, number three. Replace the stronghold with God's truth. Why does truth matter? I'm going to show you in John chapter 8 why truth matters. John chapter 8, 32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's why the truth matters. Because the truth produces freedom. Lies never do. Lies will not produce freedom. Wrong thoughts will not produce freedom. And my truth and your truth will not produce freedom. But the truth, God's truth, produces freedom. And that's why it matters, because the only way to have a free mind is to receive the truth of God and His Word into your life. That's the tool that He uses to set us free. 2 Corinthians 10:5, as we read a minute ago, uses the word captive. Okay, I want to show this to you. And this word captive is an interesting word. The New Testament was written in Greek, and it's impossible to fully translate every word into another language. And so sometimes you have to go back to that original language and go, now what did that mean in Greek? So this word captive in Greek means like to attack with a spear or a sword. So I want you to imagine what verse 5 is telling us. It's saying that we take captive every thought that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. In other words, every thought that says, I am equal to the knowledge of God, or I am just as good as the knowledge of God. God says He's given us weapons and tools that demolish those like a sword or a spear and cuts the strings loose from our mind. Now, where else do we see that? In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul wrote this book too, and he gave us a list of what he calls Christian armor, weapons that we've been given to live a victorious life, to win these battles. And here are the weapons. These are metaphors of a soldier's armor, and they all have spiritual meaning. We're not going to get into all of that today, but I just want you to see the list of tools, the list of weapons: a belt, chest plate, shoes, shield, helmet, sword. Now, I want you to notice something. Five of them are for defense. The first five are for defense. There's only one offensive weapon that you and I have as believers. It's the sword. What does the sword stand for? It's called the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Bible. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So what God has given us, this tool, this unbelievable tool that God has given us to renew our minds and to win the battle in our mind, is His Word. It's His Word. It's His Word that sets us free. So whatever the stronghold is, it's His Word that sets us free. So what do? We name the stronghold, we reject the stronghold, but most importantly, we replace that stronghold with the truth of God's Word. And that's where our ultimate freedom comes from. So let me ask you a question today. What's the lie that the enemy has told you? What's the stronghold that he put in your life to pull you away from God, the spiritual enemy of your soul? And he doesn't play fair. And he oftentimes moves in when we're young and vulnerable and life's not perfect, because it never is. And he plants as many strongholds as he can in our mind so that he can use those to manipulate and control us and pull us back from the work of God, the healing of God, the purpose of God, our whole life. So what is it for you? I'll tell you what mine is. When I was young, I was in a situation where I had to grow up too fast, and what I, it's a long, complicated thing, but the simple part is this. I just had to take on more responsibility than I should have at the age I was at. And so it caused me to be a very independent person. And in our culture, we celebrate independence. So, you know, you're like, oh, wow. You know, when I was young, people say, wow, you're, you know, you grew up fast, or you talk like an adult, or you whatever. And we celebrate that. But inside, unbeknownst to me, what was going on is there was this belief system being formed that what's going to happen in life is all up to me. It's my responsibility. It's my job to see it through. And I can't depend on people to be there to help me. And here's the even darker part. I can't depend on God. It's up to me. I didn't know all that. I was just a kid. But about 3 or 4 years ago, when my wife was the part of her illness. If you don't know our story, my wife was chronically ill, and the disease took her life about a year ago. And when I was walking through the darkest part of that, it's amazing how that those old thoughts started to raise back up again. When I would look for help and I couldn't find it, or I didn't even know how to ask for help because I couldn't even figure out what I needed because my life was overwhelming. When I thought there were things that God could have done to have helped me and he didn't, those feelings came back again and those thoughts started to surface again. Hey, it's all up to you. You're on your own. Like, no, you're not gonna get help. You're on your own. And it creates isolation. Created that. So what I had to do is I had to recognize what those thoughts were. And here's the hard part. Sometimes your experiences confirm your bad thoughts. Sometimes your experiences are actually reinforcing what you're thinking or believing. And what I had to do is I had to say, I'm not going to accept that. It wasn't one day. It took time. I had to reject it. I had to get with God on this. Like I had to get help. And I said, okay, I'm going to reject this. And so my life was so complicated, I didn't even know how to explain it to anybody else, a lot of it. And so it leaves you with that isolated feeling like nobody, I'm all alone in this. It's up to me. I've got to figure it all out. Nobody's going to help. And nobody understands. And so as I begin to reject that thought, I begin to replace it with God's thoughts. And here's what it looked like for me. I begin to say, you know what? The Bible tells me, Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And I will be with you even to the end of the world. And the Bible says that Jesus has been tempted in every way that we have, except without sin. And so I begin to replace those old thoughts with those new thoughts, and I begin to even write my own narratives and say, you know what? Never do I ever need to say again that no one understands, because God understands. So that feeling's never going to be true. And over time, it renewed my mind. So here's what I just want to ask you, okay? I want to give you that as an example. What is yours? Maybe you say, there's a challenge in my life that I can't overcome. But the Bible says you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength. Reject the lie, replace it with truth. I'm never going to be attractive enough. What does the Bible say? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm always going to be miserable and depressed. What does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I will always be lonely. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm always going to be a victim. No, I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am not what others say I am. I am not even who my mind says I am. I am who God says I am. You have to reject the thought and replace it. And here's what you have to do. You got to be stubborn about it. When you get a truth that is opposite of what your stronghold is, man, write it, quote it, study it, find a verse on it, find a song about it, and put it on your playlist and play it over and over and over and repeat it. Because every time you take a lap, every time you put your step down that pathway, you know what you're creating? You're creating a new pathway, a new pathway, a new pathway that's going to produce a new life, because your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So make those thoughts stronger. And they'll help you and they'll bless you. Name the stronghold. Reject the lie. Replace it with God's truth. Would you stand with me? Our worship team's coming, and I just want to ask you, if you would, to just open your heart, your life, and your mind. Holy Spirit, I had no idea how many good things you had planned for me. I had no idea. I had no idea how many good things that you had to say, that you wanted to do in my life. And I can say with deep confidence and deep conviction, you are good. You are good. And I'm so grateful. Lord, today as we pause for a couple of minutes and sing this song, I pray that you would just work your way into the heart and the mind of every person watching online and in the room, and you would just minister your goodness as we welcome you. So as we sing this song, would you just, maybe you want to whisper a little prayer and say, God, I welcome you into my life. I just welcome your thoughts. I welcome your way. I welcome your move. Lord, move into my life. Let's sing this together.